Well, hey everybody. Welcome to another edition of ECH Post Game Live. So Dylan is going to be joining us a little bit later. He was at Mullet Arena to watch that game. So everybody stick around for Dylan to come join us. I can't wait to talk to him personally because I just want to hear, I want to hear something, you know, good to cheer me up. I'm sure he's going to have some good stories. So everybody stick around for those. But first of all, got to give a shout out to our sponsor, Flatstick Pub, who sponsors each and every one of these post-game lives all season. They've stuck with us all year. And by the way, we do have the watch party coming up on April 5th at Flatstick Pub. You get a chance to see Dylan there. He will be at the watch party. So that's going to be really fun. So make sure to join us for that on April 5th. But let's just dive right into chat here after a rough game for the Kraken. Another one, losing streak hits 7 games and in heartbreaking fashion yet again. So first, we'll kick it off with a super chat here from Sean. Thank you, Sean. Positive, Riker goal. So glad you guys are willing to be therapists to a fan base. Yeah, there's been a lot of Emerald City therapy recently, but you know what? That's part of the job, and Dylan and I are happy to do it. And I like starting off with the positive here because as I was getting ready for post-game live, I was prepping everything with a minute and a half to go. I thought that's what we were going to start things off with. It was going to be the Riker-Evans game, and we were going to talk about how great this moment is. And it was still a really great moment for him in his career. I mean, you saw how happy he was after scoring that goal and how happy his teammates were for him, too. The hugs from Jared McCann, you could tell it was such a big moment for a young player who's waited a little while for this. I mean, he'd been scratched for a while, too, and it's just a great time to get your first NHL goal. And the smile, we don't usually see him smile very much. I mean, for those who know Garth, you don't often see a smile on his face, but he couldn't hold it back on that goal. And it was just wonderful to see that. So really, really happy for Riker Evans. And honestly, that's the biggest story that comes out of this game. That's what I'm going to remember this game for, is that Riker Evans goal. Super chat here from Patrick. Coachella Valley Firebirds playoffs clinched. We have springtime hockey. Awesome. So some good news elsewhere in the desert. This for the Coachella Valley Firebirds. Just awesome organization, A-plus organization. And I'm going to try and make it down there for some playoff games because it was so fun going last year for the conference finals. And I know Dylan got to go as well for the Calder Cup final. They're poised to have another long playoff run this year. And as soon as the Kraken are done, all eyes are going to turn toward Coachella Valley. They are a fantastic team. And just can't wait to see what they're able to do in the playoffs this year. Turning to the rest of chat, we've got from Julia. Yeah, Lil Mayo, that's Kraken hockey, baby. Felt a lot of that recently. I see lots of people happy for Riker. We got B and Zoe and Julia also. They're happy for Riker Evans. But Zoe also not sure what to say anymore. Me either. I really don't. I don't know. I'll find the words at some point during this post game, but yeah, I'm not quite sure what to say. Let's see. Yeah. Barfugel here, Garth scores, but we lost to the Salt Lake Coyotes. Yeah. Tough one losing to Arizona. Julia, vibes in the arena seemed fun. I enjoyed the Let's Go Kraken chance. Yes. I also wanted to talk about that. Can't wait to ask Dylan about it, having been in the building for it, but they came across loud and clear on the broadcast. The Let's Go Kraken chants, you could hear them during the game. Just awesome by the Kraken fans to really show up in Arizona and really make it their own barn. We've seen fans of other teams do this in Arizona. It's kind of easier to do with the smaller arena, but it just felt like so many people that I knew were going to this game, and I'm glad they really made it their own. And I can't wait to hear how the fan meetup was, because I know Dylan had a fan meetup at the second intermission, so excited to hear how that went. Fire in a Riker goal was all I wanted for the rest of the season, and I got that. I'm choosing to ignore the end result. I think that's probably the best way to go about it. Just long-term looking at this one, that's what we're going to remember. But Nicole saying this is so miserable. B, if they just scored on any of those power plays. Yeah, I think we should talk about the game itself and how it was lost. For a while, this game felt like a lot of other Kraken games recently, right? Where it was close, it was low scoring. And it just felt like the game was there for the taking. And the Kraken didn't really do anything about it. They didn't create any of the types of chances that you know are going to score and beat a goalie for a long time. And yes, they were controlling a lot of the possession. They were controlling a lot of the play. But if you look at the shot map, no big dots and nothing really in the slot. It was a lot of low quality chances. Now, they weren't allowing a ton, and that's good, I suppose. But at a certain point, you're going to have to do something to break through. And it they eventually do on a fantastic pass by Jared McCann to get that goal. But you have to do it earlier in the game. I ran the numbers on it over this stretch of seven games. The average time in the game for the Kraken's first goal is at the 37 minute mark. So almost at the end of the second period, that's the average time the Kraken are scoring their first. They just take way too long to get going. And then, of course, you know, at the end, you can't fall apart like that. Sam Studs, one, Riker, of course, two, Joey. Yeah, Joey was fantastic. He did everything he needed to do to give the Kraken a chance in this game. You just have to score more. And three, Wes McCauley, duds everybody else. Yeah, I like that call from Wes McCauley. Also want to ask Dylan what it was like to see one of those in person. I'm a little jealous. I've been waiting all season, all last couple of years, to get one of those at Climate Pledge. Still haven't gotten one yet. So I did like that call as well. A super chat here from Schultz. Sorry, I missed that earlier. No accountability for checked out. Will Hack fly back? He will. I mean, it's gonna take longer than this. But again, if the rest of the season continues like this, if they just look they don't have heart, they don't have effort, if they look so lifeless for the next 13 games, I don't know. I think he might be at risk. It has to turn around at some point. Let's go back to chat here. But Nicole, we also desperately need Dunn in OT. Yeah, definitely do. He makes a huge difference there, as he does everywhere, but especially 3-on-3. I tweeted it. I thought the Kraken should pull the goalie in overtime. Why not? If you lose the 1 point, the loser point, it doesn't really matter. And just you're bad 3-on-3. I didn't like their odds 3-on-3, and yeah, it turns out they ended up losing it. But let's see. Yeah, CJ, unbelievable. Yeah, it really is unbelievable. I guess we should talk about the end. Yeah, Patrick, that guy was left wide open, not on Joey. Yeah, you look at that goal to tie the game. And yeah, Keller, they just lost him in front. I mean, if you're able to jam a puck in right at the goal crease, like Joey makes the first save, it's right there. I don't know what more you can expect your goalie to do on that when you just have to pick up your guy in front, especially in that time of the game where there's a minute to go. Adam Larson kind of dives off to the side and loses his man. But somebody else, if he's going to do that, somebody else has to pick up Keller. And nobody did. It's just this lack of focus late in the game. We saw it against Vegas where they won it late yesterday. It's just a problem for the Kraken. It's, you know, too late for solving it to do anything, but I don't know. It's a big issue. And that comes down to the players executing. It comes down to coaching, getting them right for that situation. It's everything. Yeah, Young Muerte, lukewarm waters, but at least we have an official Garth goal. Yeah, that seems to be the big positive out of this game. And Sam, why does it have to be a former T-Bird again? That's a good point. Dylan Gunther in overtime with the winner, another former T-Bird. Putting the Kraken away there with the game-winning goal 2 days in a row. Huh, I didn't think about that. Although I did think about the comment in here from, I think it was Elizabeth, somebody, it was the typo last chat yesterday where it was just no Dylans. And Dylan's like, what, no Dylans? So I texted Dylan that right after the game, just no Dylans. Too many Dylans, really, with Dylan Gunther scoring there. Lindsay, why would they do this to Garth? I know it would have been nice to have a good memory for him there. Let's see. Lindsay, worst case scenario. I was screaming, pull Joey the entire OT. Okay, so Lindsay agreed with me. I want to yeet those loser points into the sun. Me too. Like, why get the loser points? There's nothing good out of it that comes with it. Of course, I think the league would have to go change the rule or do something to punish teams at that point. I don't think the league would like that, so I'm sure Hextall wouldn't do it for that reason. Elizabeth, the tank continues. At this point, you got to wonder if it's on purpose. Like, they're not trying to lose. I can say that much. They're putting in, you know, more effort through a game. They're not trying to lose. It would look worse than that. But I just think they know there's not a whole lot to play for. It's hard to get motivated in those situations, and the guys just don't seem motivated. So I think that's just where they're at. They're going through the motions. They're doing the bare minimum, but nothing really beyond that, and that's how you get these results. Chris, thanks ECH and crew. You guys make following this unbearable season bearable. Thank you, Chris. Thank you everyone for being here. Having this all together, you know, makes it all worthwhile, and I think it's still pretty fun after these games. Lindsay, I really thought Riker Garth Evans was going to be the man to break the drop Davy Jones hat curse. Arizona. Yeah, I thought this one did feel different after, certainly after the Kraken won that challenge on the goal that was kicked in. Because at first look, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I thought it was going to stand. But that one angle they showed at the end of the broadcast, yeah, it did look like a kicking motion there. It just felt like the vibes were right after winning those that challenge. But guess not. Yeah, JM, do you agree with the earlier point? Keller goes untouched for the tie goal. Exactly. Chip here, Turbo is dead to me. He can't capitalize on a breakaway to save his life, man. Give me anyone but him on a breakaway. On a breakaway, absolutely. Yeah, I'm sorry. We know this now. He can't score on a breakaway. It is what it is. You know, he's not there for the scoring, but he gets a lot of really good chances, breakaways, partial breakaways, to not be able to score on him. Yeah, it had another one in this game. Would have been huge if he could have put it in, but I think we just have to accept that's what he is as a player. You know, I've kind of given up all hope when I see him going down there in alone. Let's see. Through chat here, I'm glad to see all the positive words for Riker here. I know a lot of people happy for him there. Lindsay, RJ, bring some seawater with you to the next home game, please. I'll see what I can do. I mean, I can go out because the arena's right by the water. I'll go rollerblading out there sometimes. Maybe I can go out to the Sound and grab a little bit of water and just bring it with me into the arena. If you think that'll help, Lindsay, let me know if you know from the Sound out there by Centennial Park, if that counts, if that is sufficiently good water to break the curse, Lindsay. William, only question remaining is, can the Kraken finish out the season winless? That would be quite the feat. I mean, you know, I think we might all be happy with the draft pick that would result from that, but I'm not ready to go through 13 more of these post games after losses. So I do hope they get some wins sprinkled in there at some point. Rebecca, BRB, moving to Palm Desert. It is fun there. It's going to get really hot in the summer. The timing might not be the best. Good luck with the heat. But if you can handle that, there's going to be summer hockey. Bert Krem, Shane Wright with the game winner. Oh, wait, Cooley. We'll see how that plays out long term, you know, with that draft decision. Again, Cooley wasn't on the board for the Kraken. So, you know, we'll see which guy ends up being better in the long run. Nicole, can we actually move Tanev this offseason? The missed chances are getting unbearable. I've already made it clear. I'm in support of that. I think he's one of the guys they should move. Just give me a young player instead. Someone who's going to work hard, but maybe has a chance of converting on some of those. Coop, how bad can it get, RJ? I feel like the bar is pretty low right now, but a loss to the Sharks or Ducks would not remotely surprise me at this point. I'm genuinely curious to see if Hack survives this stretch. You know, the schedule is very, very easy from this point out, at least on paper. I know Arizona was part of that, but yeah, Sharks and Ducks coming up. I mean, they're not hard to beat, but you do have to be motivated. They are NHL teams. They will try. And yeah, if losses start mounting to those teams, it's going to get, you know, it's going to get potentially shaky for Hackstall. Let's see, Sam, at least we have some vindication for the kick in goal during our first ever game against Vegas. It evens out in the long run, you know. I, you know, might rather have it in a game like that first ever game against Vegas rather than this one, but you know, it does even out, if you wait long enough. Let's see. Looking at chat here. Daniel, is this the first loss Dylan has been in the building for? No, he must have been in the building for previous losses. It's definitely not the first. I'm trying to remember offhand because he did catch a little winning streak year one when he filled in when I had COVID. And then there must be. I know he was there earlier this season. Did he only see wins? I don't know. Dylan has a pretty good record generally, but I know he's been there for a loss at some point. Let's see. Coop, big shout out to Root Sports for posting a Kraken possible first ever 1-0 win stat and a Joey DeCord shutout stat. Just truly incredible work for the broadcast team. Can't jinx it better than that. I mean, I'm not a big believer in the broadcast jinx, but I guess, you know, if you're going for it, it's certainly there. I don't know. Given the way this team is playing, I wouldn't mess with it. Lindsay, the average time for the first goal is 37 minutes, and that includes the Buffalo game that they scored 24 seconds into the game. I am crying. Yeah, that stat really, really blew my mind when I looked it up earlier. Actually, it's greater than 37 minutes now. That's not including this game. And I think they definitely scored later than 37 minutes to this one. So it's probably around 40 minutes now, unfortunately. Chris, we really blew that trade deadline, didn't we? Fingers crossed there's a good offseason. I mean, at least they moved Wennberg. At least they got a return for somebody and moved Wennberg. I don't know how much they could have gotten for Schultz and the other guys they could have moved, you know, or like Tatar wouldn't have gotten much. And like Gord or Tanev, they're still under contracts. So you can still move them. So not a terrible deadline. But yeah, if they had hung on to everybody, that would be really bad. Yeah, Coop, I think we probably could have sold earlier to get a better return, but that wouldn't help this year's team, obviously. Yeah, I mean, maybe you could have sold earlier. I think you never know. But I think you want to give the team a chance. Like, you gave them as much runway as they could have. And, you know, they took it, and then things kind of went bad. Confide Kylie, the end is almost a carbon copy of that Vegas game. You know, Arizona scores at the end of the third and wins on breakaway to overtime. Yeah, the parallels are certainly there. Two nights in a row. You see, Kevin, no Dillons. I know, we got to wait till he comes on here and let him know. Jessica, my flounder remains unyeeted. No, you brought a flounder. That would have been awesome to see. Actually, I think we caught you and Lonnie on the broadcast during the Borgen fight. I think there were a few screenshots there that I'll share in the Discord at some point. I just didn't have the time to do it yet. Julia, is my typo an ECH meme now? Kind of is. I mean, if Dillons keep scoring against the Kraken, it certainly will be. Oh yeah, Julia with the no Dillons typo. Thank you, everybody. Let's see. Aaron, goals since the Vegas game last week. 1-1-2-1-1. I mean, scoring is just it's been a problem. It certainly has. Bert Krem, I'm only going through the motions at work from now on. Fair enough. I feel like a lot of people tend to do that, at least sometimes. Let's see. Michael just got to watch that one in person. Hated having to listen to the Arizona fans. Oh yeah, I'm sure, especially with how many Kraken fans were in the building and then the way that game ended. I'm sure toward the end of the game, Kraken fans might have been getting kind of confident, and I'm sure the Coyotes fans probably let them know at the end which way that one went, I would imagine. But of course, we'll talk to Dillon about that when he gets on here. Gosh, I wonder what the mood is in the room after that one, you know, with the players, the coaches. I mean, they're probably just eager to get out of there and come back home, I would imagine. Lindsay, on a happier note, can you imagine Trevor Zegras and Jared McCann playing together? Jared with that cheeky behind the net alley-oop, love the creativity. It would be really fun. I think some of these guys would really be energized by playing with a Trevor Zegras and just the things that he can do on the ice, the things he would attempt. I think it would bring some much needed joy to the forward group and maybe unlock some creativity. David, the Davy Jones hat needs to be cleansed off. It needs to be cleansed off its anger in the sound. Yeah, maybe they should just dip it in the sound if they can. Let's see. Jessica, oh yeah, there were some uncomfortable fire Hackstall yells behind us, very close to Hackstall. Not that I disagree. Interesting. And I'm sure in a smaller building like that, you can hear it. A lot of that stuff came up on the broadcast. Interesting. Yeah, Sean loved McCann's response to the Garth goal. It was awesome. Ricky, is it Bylsma or do they look outside the organization for next year? Well, when they move on from Hackstall, I don't think it'll be Dan Bylsma. I think he's happy where he is right now. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. I think he's, you know, again, I don't have any insider knowledge to this effect, but I would be surprised if he wanted to go back into the NHL. I think he's kind of done with that level of pressure and everything. And, you know, why would you move away from that gig in Coachella Valley? It's just the perfect spot to be. You've already won a Stanley Cup. You have nothing left to prove as an NHL head coach if you're him. Brooke, rollerblading by the water is lit. I love that park. Me too. It's awesome. I was lucky enough to get to live by it for a couple of years. I do miss it. Julie doesn't remember what she was trying to say with the no Dillons. Lindsay, as long as it's salt water, it will work, RJ. We must cleanse the hat, pull out all the stops to break this curse. All right, I'll see what I can do. Fuzzbox asking, when is it a coaching issue? I know we don't have the most talented roster, but the regression is concerning. I don't know. The thing is, you could kind of see the regression coming at the start of the season, just knowing how they performed last year and also getting rid of that production from the fourth line. You can argue that they wouldn't have had that same production anyway this year had the Kraken kept them. But either way, you're losing about 40 goals from that fourth line, and they didn't really bring anyone to make that up. So I think you can argue it's a composition problem, but certainly coaching is not blameless Firebird's going to a shootout. Interesting. Let me know how the birds do. Let's see. Yeah, Luke Everett and Wenatchee are in the WHL playoffs. Plenty of good Washington hockey to watch. Definitely. I'm hoping to get out to some of those junior games. Probably Everett more likely. That's a little bit closer to me. But yeah, looking forward to the WHL playoffs. Caught some T-Birds games during their run last year as well. Lots of great junior hockey in the area. So would highly recommend that to anybody. If you're having a craving for playoff hockey, there's some in your own backyard if you're living in the Seattle area. Really anyway, in the state of Washington here. And I just realized I forgot to send Dylan the link to join. That is my bad. See. So I'm just going to send that to him. So yeah, I'm not used to running the stream here. Let's see. All right, there. Just let him know I sent the link. So yeah, my bad, everybody. let's see. So he should be on very soon. And Patrick says it's weird to me to extend Hack, but then fire him next season. But yeah, it would be. It's not common that happens. I mean, Ricky said quite common. It happens, but it's, you know, most extensions you make it longer than a year. Let's see. Michael Shane got to be seeing some games at the end of the year once past the point of burning contract year, right? Well, listen, you only have six games before you burn that year, so you're still waiting a little while. And I think also more than three or something messes with this Calder eligibility. So I don't think we'll see it until very late. And also, you don't want to bring him into this right now. We all saw what just happened on the ice there these last two games. I don't want to bring Shane right into that situation. Let him stay in Coachella Valley where they just clinched a playoff spot and they're all happy. I don't want to bring him into this right now. And then Sean, did anyone else notice the big smile on Hack's face at the start of the game? I had not seen that before. Maybe trying to keep things loose. I did notice that. I actually clipped it too, just in case I wanted to use it at some point later if the Kraken were doing well. But yeah, I mean, he was smiling. He was laughing at the start of the game. I will say this, despite everything, the guys have stayed pretty loose and like going to practice, what, 3 days ago, right before they headed out on this trip. Like the guys were having fun. The guys were laughing. They weren't, you know, they didn't seem down or depressed or anything. So I don't know, maybe by the end of a game when this stuff happens, they are, but, not during practices or anything. Elizabeth, I'm really getting irritated at the goalie hate Gru and Joey get, but you don't win games not scoring goals, and putting the blame on the goaltending is misplaced in my opinion. I agree. Grubauer and Joey have been fine recently. I mean, they've been absolutely okay. They've done everything they can, give the team a chance. I guess the one exception to that, I guess, would be the Buffalo game. Joey didn't have a good game, just wasn't his night. He was bad. Hackstall realized it, and then Grubauer came in and did well. So overall, though, I think they've been fine. There's the Kraken. Someone mentioned the goal counts earlier, right? It was Aaron who mentioned the goal counts. You know, 1-1, 2-1-1. The fact that the Kraken are still in a lot of these games says a lot about the goaltending, the fact that they're in it, given all of that. So I'm just making sure the link got sent to Dylan here. Just to make sure he's all right. Okay. He says Wi-Fi is bad, so he is hotspotting. So we'll have him on soon. Charles says left Dylan stranded. RJ forgetting to send the link almost led to no Dylans. Well, see, that's the point. No Dylans, right? There are already too many Dylans. Yeah, RJ took no Dylans a little too seriously by not sending him the link. Yeah, there we go. Thank you, everybody, for giving me the joke to tell Dylan when he gets on here to cover for myself a little bit. So thank you, everybody. And Lindsay, how about Kraken PR fumbling the bag and congratulating Yamamoto on his 300th game while he was a healthy scratch? I mean, that's tough because PR, like I see the behind the scenes of a lot of how this works, and like PR doesn't know until we know on that stuff, like until the very end. Like I don't remember when exactly that tweet came out, but it was pretty early, and they just don't have a way of knowing, right? They find out with the line rushes just like we do. So, you know, they're in the same spot that we are. Oh, and I see Dylan hopping on here. There he is. All right, let's Dylan, how's it going?
Good. Here is I'm in the ethereal mullet arena. I mean, look, I guess if the other games hadn't primed us for this would be a lot worse. But the bottom line is we've we've been through this dance before. We've watched it, you know, countless times over the last couple of weeks. So I guess in that sense, it just, you know, it's just waiting around for the inevitable.
Yeah. So again, Dylan, sorry for not sending you the link right away. As some people in chat have pointed out, they said RJ took no Dylans too seriously. It's been a bit of a joke in here, the no Dylans thing, after Dylan Gunther scores the winner.
What are the odds of that, right? Like, talk about foreshadowing. Like, geez, we were right on.
I know, right?
Although, so, again, it's that there was too many Dylans. That's
right.
The problem.
That's the problem. Yeah. Too many. Well, you need to have no Dylans. That's, if there's no Dylans, we can ensure that none of that happens, I think, is the is the key here. But anyway, as it is, two Dylans, one with the OT winner, one right here in front of us. And I want to hear, there's so many things I want to hear from this Dylan that we have joining the show. First of all, though, I mean, I guess what was the mood in the room after this game? Because I mean, that's just a heartbreaking way to lose, but are the guys used to it? I mean, what did you hear from the players there?
Yeah, so we had Joey and then we had Riker. I mean, it makes sense to have those two guys for this game, right?
Of course.
Wasn't too many people in the room by the time like it was time to get in there, but just based on those guys, based on the couple other guys I saw walking through, used to it, might be closer to it than we want to hear, but I think that's what it was, right? Like, it didn't feel like I was walking into some macabre setting. Like, it was just like, mm-hmm. Oh, no, this is what happens. And that is just the- like... Oh.
Yeah. What did Hackstall take away from this game? Because I know after last night's game, he said the effort was good. He liked the effort from the team and he overall kind of struck a positive tone. Was it that way again tonight?
Yes, it was. He liked the efforts. He liked the energy that they came out with. Thought that there was some things like, you know, the power plays in the second period they could have been a little bit better with. But overall, it was just the message of you got to close it out, right? Like, this game was yours and you didn't get the job done. And that's the bottom line. And obviously that's fair. That's exactly what happened. But I think that also still kind of ignores the big elephant in the room. That is, like, this team just can't score, whether they need to score to help close out a game or whether they need to score to get a game started. This team can't score. And they don't really seem to be doing a whole lot to even generate those chances. I mean, the first two periods of this game were a snooze fest, right? Like, if it's only because we were here at Mullet Arena, where it's, you know, everybody's on top of each other and energy can circulate this building, that I feel like half the crowd wasn't asleep come the start of the third period. Because otherwise, this was just a boring game. I said it when we saw them come out for warmups, both the Kraken and the Coyotes. These were two teams that were done. They both knew that they're not going to the playoffs. They know that. It was just a bunch of guys who looked done. I've never seen such a low energy warm-up session as what we saw from these two teams, where it was just everybody coming out, doing their little circles, and then going back into the room. It was bad.
Interesting. Well, on a lighter note, what did Riker Evans have to say about his first career goal? Because that seemed like a great moment for him. He was so happy. You don't see Garth smile very often, but he had a huge smile on his face after that one.
I made that joke too. I was like, I think that's the first time I've ever seen him smile, at least like a proper, genuine human smile, right? Like, that's what we got from him when he scores that goal. It was teeth and everything. He almost smiled in the room, but he didn't.
Okay.
Fashion, the smiles were all gone by the time we got in there. But, you know, he said it was great, you know, filling a dream. Walked through the play, gets the great feed from McCann, puts it home. It was Garth, right? Like, he breaks it down in as few words as possible.
Yep, I know how he is. You know, that all makes sense. And now I really want to hear about the atmosphere in the building at Mullet, because it looked like there were so many Kraken fans. The Let's Go Kraken chants came across loud and clear on the broadcast. I mean, tell me, what was it like to be in a building that seemed like it was the Kraken's house almost?
Yeah, this felt like a lot like the game at the end of last season, where it was majority Kraken fans. Obviously, last year, there was only one game here for Kraken fans to attend to. This year, it was split, right? We had the game back in November. Not too many Kraken fans back in November. It felt like everybody kind of waited for this game. And yeah, it was majority Kraken crowd, and they were loud. I mean, that is arguably the loudest Let's Go Kraken chant I've heard. And it was here on the road in Arizona, of all places. But it's the truth. Like, it was thunderous. And then they tried to get, like, Let's Go Yotes chants going a little bit after, and they sounded pathetic compared to
it. I didn't notice them on the broadcast.
No, yeah, they were nothing compared to it. So there were some fans, like one fan in front of me was trying to change it up from Let's Go Kraken to Go Home Kraken and kind of joining in with all the Kraken fans, but it just added to the, you know, the Kraken-ness. But I felt like it was what the team normally would respond to, right? In the third period, you get a big, loud, thunderous Let's Go Kraken, you know, get the team going. And I feel like through 95% of this team's existence, that's what it would do. It's just we're existing in that 5% where nothing can get this team going. Nothing can keep momentum with this team, right? Nothing's going to get them to keep momentum. And nothing's going to get them to score. Doesn't matter how much the fans show up. I think we're just in this one period of time where, for whatever reason, nothing matters for this team. They just can't get it done in all the different ways. They just can't get it done.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. And another area where they can't get it done is in overtime. And I see some people in chat here, kind of right as you arrive, talking about Eberle, you know, Coop asking thoughts on Eberle legitimately dumping a puck in overtime. Can't for the life of me think of one single reason why you would do this. You know, other people agreeing, you know, like, or say, you know, send it back to the goalie. I don't know. What do you think of the overtime? And then also I thought they should pull the goalie in overtime. Maybe the league would like that a little bit less. I think the league really would dislike that if the Kraken did it.
Would.
But why not?
Aside from that, this point, you never know what this one point could end up meaning come draft lottery time. Look, Hextall said it himself during his presser that they need to be more aggressive in overtime, right? Like, they need to look at those chances. They need to make sure that they're generating the best chances for themselves, controlling the puck, blah, 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 all that stuff. Without talking to Ebs, right? Like, who's to say why he made that call? Yeah. It doesn't make sense. Like, in any way, shape, or form. And it doesn't really make sense in the context of how this team has played overtime games since their second overtime game, right? The first overtime game this team ever played back in season one was all over the place. And then from that moment on, we saw the kind of lockdown, control the puck, try to keep possession for the entirety of overtime. Even if that means you're not taking, you know, chances for yourself, it means nothing bad is going to happen. For guys to not play that way tonight, it didn't sound like Hextall told them to try something different for this one, right? I think it might just be, you know, part of what's ailing this team as a whole, which, again, we don't really know what it is, but it just seems like a lot of guys are not totally checked out, but they're not always in the moment. And I think that that's just starting to affect them in a lot of different ways, including now apparently overtime.
Yeah, I mean, you can see it across the board. Fun question here from Rebecca. I always mean to ask Dylan who his favorite Dylan is in the league.
That's a really good question. Who are the Dylans left in the league?
I'm off the top of my head, like Gunther, Strome, Larkin.
Yeah.
McElrath, no.
No, not Dylan.
Maybe McElrath. Not still in the league.
No. Yeah, there's not too many of us, is there? Let's see. Of those three, I would have said
Cousins. I know it's not Cousins.
It's definitely not Cousins. I probably would have said Gunther before tonight. I don't feel like I can say that right now, though. But yeah, you know, former Thunderbird.
Gambrell, is he still in the NHL? Washington native.
I don't believe so. Okay. I guess let's go Dylan Larkin. Why not?
Sisters right. Going Coop to Michigan agree. Larkin State. Is sick. Yeah.
Sisters going to Michigan State. I'm going to have to go with Dylan Larkin.
All right, good. From Dexter here, great seeing you again, Dylan. Hopefully this ain't the last time the Kraken play in Arizona. Yeah, hopefully not. Now, Dylan, I got to ask you, how was the fan meetup at second intermission?
It was good. It was good. Unfortunately, we all forgot to take a picture, in part because we were
Dylan!
It was the vibe. I'm telling you, this team sucks the energy out of everything around it. It's bad, RJ. It's bad. So it was a lot of commiserating, a lot of lifting everybody up, and then a lot of talking of travel, which, you know, kind of tells you how the game was going up until that point. That was one of the big topics of conversation. But it was great to see everybody again. Always great to see you, Dexter. Love hanging out with you. And, yeah, I mean, hopefully it's not the last time, because I'd love to, you know, be able to come here and see a game in your home state.
Yeah, and I want to catch a game at Mullet at some point. I'm hoping they're there for at least another season.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you a picture will be taken for a fan meetup if I go. Probably won't attract as many fans. I'm sure there'll be like two people who want to show up to see me.
Yeah,
but there will be a picture taken.
this is why we're the perfect pair, right? Because you would remember to take the picture. I remembered to bring the banner. The thing you never
Okay.
You never remember to take the banner. I brought the banner. I just didn't take the picture with it.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. That's true. We do fill in each other's gaps there.
this is why meetups only work when we're both together.
Yep. Let's see. I mean, Bert Kram, in fact, loved that effort. He's going to love Disney World next winter when he's unemployed. I mean, thoughts on the Hackstall situation? Somebody said that they heard some fire Hackstall chants right behind the bench. Also, I don't know if you caught those.
That would be the far side. I did not hear any of those from where we are, but that's, you know, opposite side of where we're at. I have no idea why the camera does this in mullet every time. They just,
I know,
too angelic. You just can't do it.
I know. Lindsay said she likes the angelic lighting.
Yeah. I can't say that I heard that, but again, when we're seeing the team just do the same thing over and over and fail continuously. We talked the last game during, I think it was our live game commentary, not post game, about the stuff that maybe they should be practicing, but they haven't been practicing. When you look at the consistent effort, and then now with stuff like the Jordan Eberle overtime thing, where you're saying guys aren't even playing in the moment, like they're not there. Those are all like kind of the hallmarks of, yeah, a coach really needing to be looked at and having to be on the hot seat. So I don't see how we can say that Hextall isn't. I think for all the reasons that we've talked about before, he probably gets through the off season and then in the next season. And then if things start slow at all, that's the move that's made. But at the same time, I know it seemed ridiculous when I said it, RJ. I said, though, if they lose like 9 or 10 of the last 15, 16, maybe we see something. They might lose all 15 or 16 of the end here, right? I mean, they picked up 2 points since the trade deadline.
Yeah, I mean, there was talk of will they go winless the rest of the way early on in chat here. And I couldn't promise anyone that they wouldn't playing like this. But on a different topic, though, from Sam, draft question for you, Dylan. If a top forward like Yzerman or Catton falls to our position in the draft, assume between 7 to 10, would we pass on a defenseman in that situation? What do you think?
I think Ron Francis will always go best player available. And I think that's what every general manager should do. And I think that, you know, it'll be then up to the scouting department, up to the analytics department, if one of those two guys is better than the defensemen that are on the board. It's not the fun answer, but I think that that's what the answer is. I kind of talked about it last time. You can't, when it takes so long for these guys to develop, because even if, you know, you're picking in the top 10, you're picking the later half of the top 10, it can still take, you know, certainly 1 year, but potentially 2, if not even 3 for some defensemen to show up in your NHL lineup. You just can't pick for need in a situation like that when it might be 2 to 3 years before that guy's actually there, right? Like every time we see teams do that, historically, it has not worked out. That general manager is not there come the time that that player actually makes the NHL. And a lot of times that's how we end up with draft busts, is because guys are taken ahead of where they should have been and with a lot of pressure put on them because they were drafted for need instead of just going with the best player available and then being picked at the appropriate time. So I don't think Ron Francis would do that anyway, but I also just don't think that anybody should.
Yep, I agreed on that. Best player available always. And Lindsay saying, Cole Yzerman, you are a Seattle Kraken. Manifesting.
Lindsay has been manifesting this for a long time now.
Yep, yeah, she's been on it. By the way, everybody, I'm kind of moved on to the bottom of chat here. So if there's something that I did skip over and miss, feel free to put it back in chat again so I catch it. As I'm looking down here, let's see, Lindsay also listing some Dylan's, DeMello, Holloway, if those sway you at all. I like Dylan DeMello. I'm a fan of his.
Dylan DeMello's good. He is good. Like I said, I think I got to stick with Barkin.
Yeah, and on the photos, Coop, vibes are bad equals no family photos. Elizabeth, you guys had one job. Ricky, though, saying no photos in Tempe is always a safe decision. Fair enough.
That is true.
And yes, Dexter, very eager to get to the mullet at some point. So, Sam, thankfully, Montreal has no former T-Birds, though an equivalent would be if the Habs win on a goal from Slafkovsky. So, yeah, that was another thing pointed out. The winning goals coming from former Seattle Thunderbirds back-to-back games.
Yep. Cole Sargunther. It is brutal, right? I guess it's a good reminder that there's some great WHL hockey in and around the Seattle area. I don't know that the T-Birds are necessarily the team right now.
Yeah, not this year, but
You know, just a reminder that normal, you know, during years like this where the Kraken maybe aren't going to get it done, CHL playoffs start, you know, right now, basically. So you can just get on board with that train and you know, still keep going and root for a local team.
Yep. Jessica Burakovsky was on another planet tonight. What did you think of his game? Because I did see some good moments from him.
He was really good. I mean, this was like a classic Berkey game, right? He was fantastic. He was all over the place. He was making things happen when nobody else on this team was capable of making anything happen. And he walked away without anything to really show for it.
That's been the story of the last little while here. He had a nice stretch where he was able to score some goals. I'm surprised at the lack of assists, just given his playmaking ability and the plays he set up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he sets up incredible plays, but because of nobody on the team can finish, it doesn't mean anything. I feel so bad for that guy, right? To battle through everything he's had to battle through both seasons now, and just not have too much to show for it is disappointing, I'm sure, for him.
Yeah. And Jeffrey asking, how much do we think the loss of Wennberg has hurt since the trade deadline? They've really fallen off a cliff. We did talk about that a little bit last night on the post game. I don't know that he helps you with the scoring problem.
No,
he doesn't really help you there.
I don't think he helps with the on ice. I don't think that dramatically changes anything. I think what it was this team took that as the front office, you know, giving up on them, saying, we don't think you guys are probably going to do it. And it affected this team, right? Instead of being a rallying cry for this team to go out there and, you know, stick it to the man, Ron Francis, they went and they folded. And again, I hate saying stuff like this. It sounds so negative. It sounds so awful. But at the same time, you've picked up 2 points since you traded Alexander Wennberg. And yeah, both of those points are on games that you lose in overtime after blowing a lead with under a minute left.
It's just the reality of it, Dylan. I know, like, yeah, it sounds negative and I hate that, but you kind of have to just give it to him straight at some point. Super chat here from Light, though, on the plus side. Hey, Riker got a goal and we gave the Yotes standings points. This was a win in my eyes. This is a win-win in my eyes. I mean, sure. Yeah, the Coyotes are a little bit closer to the Kraken in the standings now. One point closer.
They are. I mean, maybe it's possible. If the Kraken are going to lose every game the rest of the way, I guess that is something to pay attention to.
I know. It's a 6-point difference now. I don't know. Should we be looking at Montreal? Kraken play Montreal coming up. So
here's the thing. Last time the Kraken were in a 6-point difference for something, and we really wanted it to happen, the exact opposite happened. So I think right now what we need to be really doing is rooting for you know, a lot of Coyotes losses and a lot of Kraken wins, and then the inverse will happen.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, so they got Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Calgary, and New Jersey right ahead of them in that race. I guess got to have those teams win some games. Let's see.
If I may, RJ.
Go ahead.
If I may here. From Coop, I know with all the fantastic fans of this group, somebody has the skills to create a highlight reel from hell of every Tanev breakaway chance this year. Lol, it'll hurt to watch, but it'll be impressive. How, RJ? Twice in this one. I feel very honored. I got to see two of them. But like, it's unreal. It's unreal.
I know. You know, I'm sure somebody could actually do that. But I know it is. I don't understand. Like, especially the one late in this game where it just did it roll off his stick. What even happened there?
It was right in front of me too, and I couldn't tell you. It was just like he just like lost the stick. Like he just picked it up and moved his stick, and the puck just kept going.
Yep. And it he seems to have these breakaways too. With enough, maybe it's the problem is that there's enough time to think, but there's always seems to be enough time on these breakaways where I check the number and I'm like, oh, well, all right, we know how this is going to go. There's time to think about it. I even formulated in my head a little joke like, well, if he scores, I'll ask Dylan what it was like to see two things that have never happened before, a Riker Evans NHL goal and a Tanev breakaway goal. But by the end of that, it was the puck was in the corner.
I actually got excited for one of them too. Like I legit
rookie
I was
mistake,
like, oh,
Dylan.
Man, here it comes, let's go. And I let myself get excited. That was a mistake, yes. Yeah, but being in the building for Riker Evans' first NHL goal, I was also there for Maddie's first NHL goal. So
that's
seen the Kraken's top two picks from the 2021, their first ever two draft picks. I have happened to be in the building for their two NHL goals.
Yeah, and I think the broadcast mentioned there have only been 4 Kraken players that have scored their first NHL goal with the team. Mm-hmm. And so then it would be Shane Wright would be the other one.
Yeah.
And then I don't remember who the fourth is, and I should know this, but I don't remember.
It wouldn't be a draft pick, so it would have to be somebody who was a prospect who came over. It wouldn't be...
Oh, Karche.
Hi, Karche, yeah.
Yep, and Karche. Okay. So, yeah, there we go. So, I mean, hey, you're at half of them.
It means, you know, look out whenever Ryan Winterton joins this club. Look out at any games I happen to be attending.
Yep. Yeah, hey, Riker saved this one for a while for you.
Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah. All right. So looking back up at the chat, and I was looking earlier, I was looking for that one from Coop about the TANF thing. That's the one I was searching for. William, would love to see the Kraken go for Jalen Chatfield as a free agent this summer. He's in Carolina, right?
Sure.
Okay. Yes, he is. Okay. I have actually been impressed by him in the games where I've seen him. I remember I could look it up in my text with you years ago, texting you about like, hey, this Jalen Chatfield guy seems pretty good. I wouldn't mind it. He's sneaky good on the blue line.
I will trust you.
I know you don't care or have any strong opinions.
If you've been talking for a long time, look, here's the thing. Can he go net front and screen a goalie and or tip a puck?
He's a defenseman.
Okay. Then they don't. What are they going to do then?
I don't need that out of my defenseman.
I know. But what are they going to do with another, you know, bottom four defenseman?
Yeah, fair enough. I guess there's, I don't know. They're going to have nobody after Riker in between, like, you know, the sixth defenseman and Cale Fleury.
Okay, but you could find a guy to plug in there all the time.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess if you move like a Borgen or something as part of larger moves, yeah, it'd have to be part of a bigger puzzle.
Right. Like I'm fine. He could be a good player, all that stuff. I'm just saying, like,
I just like the Jalen Chatfield mention from William, so I was going to mention
like the whole thing, because there's like the two trains of thought, right, for all of us in the community, right, and that's the how do we acquire the superstar, and then it's how do we acquire value. Right. Yeah. And we've been really good, and the team has been really good at acquiring value. But what we're seeing right now is that a team full of value picks, it doesn't work. Right. It's not.
He's not the answer or the solution.
No, I know. Probably. But I'm talking big picture here. I'm talking big picture. I'm not zeroing in just on him.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I think, you know, we have the team of the value picks. We have the team of the guys that punch above their weight, and it's not enough. And I think that's where we're at. So again, I'm down to talk all these names. I'm down to talk all of that stuff, but I want it done with the understanding of, I don't think any of it would make a material difference, right? None of it cures what ails this team. And that's a problem.
Okay, you're not wrong. Also, Jessica meant a bad planet for Burakovsky. Coop, like, I knew you meant it that way, but I thought about that for a second after I read it.
Thought that, but then I was like, but I thought he played good, so I'll go the other way.
Yeah, I did think he did all right. Like, that's the book on, like, Burakovsky. He's not super engaged every shift, but you're hoping every game he generates a few really good chances.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did his thing.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ricky Kraken number 8 on Tankathon and dropping. Yeah, moving in the right direction.
Yeah.
See a lot of prospect talk there. Viren forced wide by the goaltender does not really seem like something you want to hear about a breakaway.
No, you don't. You don't. It's crazy.
Accurate call though.
It very, very, very.
Yeah. Wait, I see Zoe mentioning Borgen, Lindsay Coland, Viren Karche Lind. Oh, is that first?
More players.
Yeah. Okay, I'm right. It was more than that. All right.
Yeah. Yeah, because
It was six. Okay, I got it.
So there we go.
All right, I see all those names. Yeah. Coop, I'll never forget Tanev having the slickest forehand backhand finish in year one. I was fully fooled into thinking he had hands. Oh, how wrong I was. I know, year one, he was so good at those.
He was. Maybe all of that talent was in his ACL.
Oh, no. That is the thing that changed, huh?
I'm just saying.
Yep. Let's see. Ricky, plant Villy in front of the net. Ottavainen.
Go for it.
Why not? You got to try Alexiak first, though.
Yes. I. You know what, though? I did like Maddie on the power play being net front tonight.
Yeah.
I think that's something that if you go with that and you stick with it and you give him the reps there, I think he could turn into something just because he's got the hand eye. I like him there. He's really good at kind of just being sneaky at times and getting around guys, right? That's why he works as a perimeter player. Him being able to be net front on the power play specifically, I think could really work if given the time to develop.
Yeah. Damn, Dylan, brutal. Dylan from the top rope. Not holding back. Yes, man, that's such a great way to frame it. A plus Dylan. Wow, everybody liking that. Let's see. Schultz, open to predictions as to when we'll win again. What do you think, Dylan?
I thought the entire drive here, I thought tonight was the night.
We talked about it after last post game, right? We thought this was the night.
Yeah, we thought this was the night. It just felt like it. It was a great day. Drive was good. All that stuff was great. And then the game started. And like I saw the warm-ups and I was like, uh-oh. But I was like, Coyotes don't look great either. And then the game started.
Until a minute and a half left in the third period, we weren't really doubting it.
I had more doubt then than I think I
really?
Did.
With like, the 1-0 lead
into the game, yeah.
That's not good.
If you've not been watching this team for the last 2 weeks, why would I?
I get it. Oh, man. You have to laugh, you know?
I know.
Let's see. Viren, fun fact, Money Puck says Tanev is above average shooting talent. I do not trust the Money Puck algorithm. That helps solidify it.
I was going to say, does it still have the Kraken at like 10% to make the playoffs just because they're a good possession team?
No, this morning it was at 0.5%. It was the smallest sliver. I could swear you couldn't even see it. Just wedged between, I think, Vegas and the Oilers. It was a very uncomfortable position to be in.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
And that little pie chart. Let's see. Good night from Pablo. Good night, Pablo. Lindsay, I did like Maddie's game and nose for the net tonight. Hopeful for his revenge season next year. Now, he did look a little disengaged earlier in this game. I mean, what'd you think of the way that he finished it?
Okay, so he finished the game way better than he started it. Because in the first period, the Kraken had a great chance in the offensive zone. His line was coming off. The second line was coming on. And they were kind of cycling and doing the line change while they were in the offensive zone. And Berkey gets the puck along the half boards right over there, right by the Noble Ground Coffee sign down there. And not that you could see it.
I was going to say, in that sea of just blinding light, yeah.
I want to be a weatherman, okay? So Berkey gets it, and he puts his head up, and he's got Maddie. Maddie's wide open. The problem is Maddie's going off on the line change. Again, Kraken have possession in the offensive zone. Maddie is already straight-legged, just coasting towards the bench. And if he had his head up and he was just even following the play, even if he was still moving in the direction of the bench, he could have had the puck. And I'm telling you, there was nobody around. He could have walked in and had a great chance in the slot. And then you book it off. The problem being, like, he didn't have his head up. He didn't know where the puck was. He didn't realize that a teammate had the puck and that he was in a good position to score. Or that he needed to get off the ice quicker, right? If you're really gassed and you don't have anything left and you can't stay to help the offensive chance, then you get off the ice as fast as possible so that Jared McCann can get on the ice and go in there and try to help out Berkey, right? That was an issue for me. So that play really kind of stood out as one of those, like, wow, he's just out of it, right? Like, how do you not know that? And that was very early on in the game, like very, very early on. So none of the, like, injury stuff later would have played a role in that. That was like 10 minutes into the game.
Right. And I'm not saying this is really a negative or a positive, I guess, but he has thrown so many pucks through the, like, right through the crease that have just gone out the other side these last two games. There've been a lot of those.
And a lot of them, his head's not up, right? Like he knows that's the danger area. That's where he should throw the puck. And that's great. But a lot of these plays are times where he has time and space and he can pick his head up and he can choose to find a teammate. Right. And he's not really doing so. And so I think that's that next evolution. We're always talking about him growing offensively. That next evolution is he needs to understand that in the NHL, what constitutes time and space versus lower levels of hockey is very different. And he's being given a lot of time and space for an NHL player. And he needs to start feeling comfortable in those situations so that he can pick his head up. He can search for an open guy. He can make the actual play rather than just trying to throw it to a dangerous area, throw it to the right space. He can actually throw it to a teammate.
Yeah, and that's all the stuff that's just going to come with time. And Lindsay, did Dylan's whiteboard game just level up? Just pointing things out on the actual ice.
It's too white to be seen, apparently. it's reflecting all of the light on the whiteboard.
Yeah. And then Ricky, weathermen needed in Arizona for about 15 days a year. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know that I could really have a career doing it, but for the day that I'm here.
Yeah, why not? All right. So as we reach the bottom of chat, kind of last call in chat, anybody else has anything? In the meantime, though, Dylan, anything you'd like to add or stories from the game, anything fun?
Yeah. So there was two things with Justin Schultz. One where there was a time where Dumoulin pinched up in the offensive zone, and it was a good pinch. It just didn't really work out. And Justin Schultz didn't cover. I don't know what he was paying attention to. He just didn't cover at all. And then I think, you know, last game against Vegas, he struggled with this. And then tonight he continued to struggle with this, Justin Schultz. And that's, he gets beat to the inside so easily. Like, you can just bully your way to the inside on him so quickly. You don't even need to get physical. You just make a move towards the inside. And he's just failing to stop it right now. So I think that's something he needs to really work on there. And, that was really it. Because those were the things, you know, there's always different things that stand out to you when you're seeing the team in person from watching it on TV, right? And that's why I like to be here. And that really stood out to me. Like, you know, we've been talking about Justin Schultz's struggles all this time, but being able to watch him in person where I could really follow him, where, you know, it's when he leaves the frame of the camera, right? I'm kind of stuck. Here, I can just watch him the whole way. And those were the things that I was noticing from him, is just that the awareness isn't always there. He does a lot of puck watching, and then he's not reading plays well, whether it's a guy coming in on him defensively, right? He's skating backwards and he's got to figure it out defensively. Which way is he going? He's really struggling with that. He's struggling to read plays in the offensive zone. I don't really know why that's the case. Obviously he's a veteran guy. He's played a lot of hockey. It generally, that doesn't happen to veteran players, especially veteran defensemen. But right now it just looks like he's having a really hard time reading the play. No matter where the puck is.
Yeah. And I guess there's not a whole lot you can do given the inflexibility on the blue line. I mean, you know, there's nobody really to call up, put in there instead or sit them down. It just doesn't, you know, they kind of have to roll with this. So that's just kind of where it's at right now. All right. So with that, I think we're going to, anything else, Dylan?
No, that's it.
All right. So yeah, with that, I think we're going to wrap things up, let you, get to sleep or driving back. I don't even remember which one it is, but I'll let you get to sleep there. I know it's, you know, been a long day with a lot of driving for you, but before doing that, Dylan, it's your chance to point down there to our wonderful sponsor, Flat Stick Pub, with us for each and every one of these post game lives. Yeah, there you go. Look at that. Look at that. Like the weatherman, the Vanna White, whatever you want to call it. Perfect. Oh, look at that, Dylan. You're a natural. That is wonderful. And people, if they didn't get the chance to see you tonight, we'll have the chance to see you on April 5th at our watch party being hosted at Flat Stick Pub at the South Lake Union location for the Kraken Ducks game. It's going to be a really great time. I know you got some fun stuff planned for that one. So hoping that you can see as many people as possible there as well. But that's going to do it for ECH Post Game Live tonight. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And we'll see you next time after the Kraken's game against Montreal.